Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me. How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. Greetings in the name of Jesus. All right. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we've opened your word here and now, and we're asking the Holy Spirit come forward to let us have the truth of this word and to open our hearts and minds so that, Father, we can receive it and understand it so that we can be of more help to those that are walking in darkness. And help the Holy Spirit to bring them to light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. The Father be with us throughout this study, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, we're in the third chapter of Hebrews. It's not a long chapter. It's 19 verses long. There's several things in it that you won't find nowhere else, really. Now, in verse 1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who had built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. 5. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. 6. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. 9. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. 11. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ. We hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. 15. While it is said, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the day of provocation. 16. For some, when they had heard, they did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. 17. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcass fell in the wilderness? 18. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And may the Lord add his blessing unto the reading of this his word. And now may the Holy Spirit come forward to speak to us this word as we return at the beginning to take a deeper and stronger look into it. All right. As we go back here now to the beginning, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. 2. Who was faithful to him that appointed him, also Moses was faithful in all his house. Now, you know, in those two verses, Jesus is both the apostle and high priest of the Christian faith. Now, you know, these titles do not involve his divine essence. They speak in regard to his superior ministry. And Moses is very highly regarded by the Jews, so the author of Hebrews now attempts to make his argument for the superiority of Christ without belittling the ministry of Moses. See, he's not wanting to tear Moses down, because Moses was held very highly in esteem by the Jewish nation, and which was rightly done. God used him and kept leading them and taking care of them 40 years. The authors, we don't know who this author is that wrote or recorded the book of Hebrews. We know who gave him the words, but we don't know who had it recorded. The author's use of the word apostle, use of Christ only here, the only place to where they have used apostle to define Jesus. But they didn't stop there. They added even more to it. But they did, as we just read there, that he was an apostle and high priest. Now, and it also expresses the superiority of his commission, and he being sent directly from God as a messenger and as high priest, he is a man's direct intercessor with God. And that is the way he stands with you and I. Because you see, God is no respecter of persons. And we are under the same word, us and the Jewish people both. No difference in us. We are all to be living the same identical word and ways of Almighty God. Now, for this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who has built the house gets more honor than the house. For every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. 5. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. 6. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Now, as we stop there to take a look at those verses, we see there that he is considered of having more glory than Moses. Christ was. And although they were very careful in not cutting Moses down too far, but yet he was below the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Christ's superiority and greater glory were not based on his faithfulness. Both were faithful. He and Moses both. Not just one of them. They were both faithful. But on his superior position, Christ is the one who has built the house, whereas Moses is part of the house. And being a servant in it, Christ is identified as a son over his own house. And the translation, his own, is somewhat stronger than the Greek. It is his house, but his house is the same as God's. Only one house is involved in these verses, and it is not Moses' house, and it is not ours, it is God's. Moses was a part of this one house. It is what Paul calls the household of God. Now, are the household of faith, and it includes all believers of all, you see, it includes you and I, even to this day. All believers of all time. That means all of us. Now, 7, wherefore as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. And we know he got them out of bondage and put Moses to lead them. And a trip that could have taken them just a few days wound up taking 40 years because they would not quit murmuring and complaining, even wanting to go back to Egypt and back into slavery, doing this at Moses. But now, he goes on here then, says, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. The second of the 5 great warnings of Hebrew begins here. The first concerns neglect. This one warns against doubt. Do not doubt God's promise, as is common with the other warning passage. Exhortation and the illustrations are incorporated with the warning Israel's disbelief and their hardness of heart under the godly leadership of Moses, and then Joshua served as examples. You see, we have them also as examples and teaching us what to do and what not to do when it comes to being obedient unto the word of Almighty God. These are things that we really need to know and to understand. Now, 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. 13. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now here again, something we have been bringing up several times through our study here in 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And here in 13, but exhort one another daily. You see, we don't just fellowship with each other whenever we want to. We are told to do it daily. And the second warning actually begins here and is addressed to brethren, which is professing believers, lest any have unbelief in his heart and thus depart from God. This departing is the source of our word apostasy, which is a deliberate departure from God. Full revelation. And these Hebrew brethren were being tempted by an evil heart of unbelief to return actually to Judaism, which is really things they were throwing at Moses. And to do so meant that they would have to reject the fuller revelation they had received in Christianity and return to the incomplete revelation of Judaism. Thus they are admonished to exhort one another daily with the truth. Talk to each other daily about the truth. The truth of God's word, the truth of his being, the truth of who he is, the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the truth of his being, and the truth of what he has done for you and I, and the truth of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, and what he is doing for us today, and what he brings to us from Almighty God. You know, we're to talk to each other daily about that, and that will strengthen our faith in Christ, such as the truth contained in this epistle. You see, he's pretty plain here about things that are going on that you and I, and he's also letting us know, talk to one another daily. That's why I have this daily Bible study. Now, we've been going through the Bible. That was not really the reason for it. The reason is that we can share this word with each other and do it daily, keeping our hearts in the knowledge of God, in the knowledge of His Word, and our love for each other, so that we too walk stronger in the Lord Jesus, and we can stand stronger as examples to those that are walking in darkness, to help them to come to a knowledge that they need something more in their lives, and that being the Lord Jesus Christ and repentance and a change. So they too can make heaven their home and walk upright. 14. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. One's conversation to Christ, which occurred in days past, we are made takers of Christ, is proved to have been genuine by their perseverance in the days to come, if we hold our confidence steadfast unto the end. And you know, this means that continuance in faith is a test of the reality of one's faith in Christ. Think about that. Now, 15. While it is said today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Don't harden your heart. Stay with the Word. Stay loving the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and our Heavenly Father. Now, 16. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. We know that all of them, just about, did. But the generation, that older generation that came out of Egypt, that made this journey, never saw the promised land. Think about that. Even Moses himself did not get to go into the promised land. He was sent into the mountain and died in the mountain, and God buried him. It was God that buried him. Now, 17. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcass the wilderness? Yes. That generation that did nothing but complain and murmur. You see, it was the younger generation that got to go in to the promised land with Joshua. Now, 18. And to whom sware he that they should not enter in, not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? Those are the ones that he told would not enter into their rest, for those that would not believe. 19 and the last verse. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. The only reason they could not enter into the promised land was because of their unbelief. And we have so many today that are doing this exact same thing. And a lot of them are sitting in our church pews and still in unbelief to most of God's word. And they are not accepting a lot of it. They're rejecting it. And when you reject any of the Word of God, you're looking at trouble. Think about that. And we're going to stop here. And God willing, in the morning, we can pick up with chapter 4. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again we quote your word. Father, I do. I love this word. I love teaching this word. I love having the Holy Spirit guide me and to see that I receive and acknowledge the true meaning of what is written in this book we call the Holy Bible. Father, I pray for Israel. Pray for peace for them. More than that, Father, I pray for them all to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as the Messiah. In this land of ours, Father, without any excuse whatsoever, turned its back to walk away from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, taking him out of our schools and all of our public places, even wanting to take him away from our prayers. Father, that is because of those that we have sitting in high places, in offices, Father, and they need to be removed and replaced by those that are walking in righteousness, that loves you, loves the Lord Jesus, loves your church, your people, and this land. And Father, those that will work with us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back on the foundation it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. My Father, I pray for Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, Amy, Amy's husband Tom, her son Jacob, for Millie and Bobby Johnson, for Sue Branson, for Debbie, Father, for my wife and myself, and each one of our family members. Because, Father, we have family members that are walking in darkness. May the Holy Spirit speak with them, work with them, and help to bring them out of darkness to light, that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, for those that are believers, keep them in health through this night. Keep them safe and bring us back together again in the morning, Father, back into your word at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Now, Father, watch over us all. And this is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, everyone. Have a great, great night. Hold on to God. He'll hold on to you. Good evening, all.